time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
Hey, welcome to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Hey, listen, if you have not yet subscribed to this podcast, would you please do so? Just click the subscribe button there, wherever you're listening on this online or whether it's on your podcast app or Spotify or whatever. That way you can be told about when new podcasts are released and that type of thing. So the second thing, if you would share this with someone, share this episode, share this series, share this podcast, or go to my podcast page on podomatic.com, Vintage Truth, and just share this with your friends on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or wherever you are, and just tell some people about this. If you think this has been helpful for you, then why not just share it with some other people to help them be biblically discerning about what's happening in our world today. Hey, we're in the third part of this series, The Coming Zombie Apocalypse. If you haven't heard the first two, you need to go back and listen to those. But the third part here is where it really gets intense here, because we're talking about the book of Revelation and the judgments that God unleashes on planet Earth during that time and the effect that that has on mankind and how mankind responds to God. That's the whole point. And, you know, I define this whole zombie thing, the zombie within us, as the part of us that runs from God, rejects God, and resists God. The Bible calls it the sin nature. And Jeremiah 17:9 says it is deceitfully wicked above all things. Ephesians 4, I think verse 22 tells us that it is continually being corrupted. So it ain't getting any better. It's only getting worse. And it's true in my life as well. And so that's why I can't follow or shouldn't follow my old sin nature. But during this time when you would think people would be falling on their faces in mass numbers repenting, the Bible says they're doing something else in mass numbers, but they're not repenting of their sin. In fact, the Bible says they acknowledge that God is the source of these judgments on planet Earth. And then it says, but they refused to repent of their wickedness, of their demon worship, of their sorceries, of their immorality, of their thefts, of all these things. And that's just the first two judgments, because we believe that these judgments are going to be increasing in succession and also increasing in intensity as we ramp up to the second coming of Jesus Christ in Revelation 19. So let's talk about the third round of judgments and how mankind responds to these judgments. We've seen the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments. Now we have what's called the bowl judgments in Revelation chapter 16. And just, again, just to clip through what's going to happen, the Bible says there's going to be these malignant boils or sores that are going to pop up on all the people who've taken the mark of the beast. So at some point just prior to these bowl judgments is going to be where the mark of the beast is going to be enacted and enforced worldwide. And so these boils are going to come on these people, and they're going to suffer these horrible boils. And then in chapter 16, verse 3, it says that the sea is going to become blood, killing every living thing in it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the massive worldwide stench and disease from all sea life dying? Verses 4 through 7 says, the rivers and springs of water have become blood. And according to verse 7, it says, this is payback judgment for pouring out the blood of saints and prophets. You say, whoa, is God being a little harsh here? No, they're just giving them back what they dished out. He said, you poured out the blood of my saints, therefore, drink some blood yourself. You like blood? Here, have some. And chapter 16, verse 6 has a very interesting phrase in it that you don't hear a lot today preached, because we just want everybody to like us, you know, and we should be very kind and nice and compassionate to every person we come in contact with. But we also have to say what the Bible says. And in chapter 16, verse 6, after turning these rivers to blood and suffering under this judgment, God just simply says in verse 6, they deserve it. They deserve it. There comes a time when God delivers his judgment. It's not a time for us to say, how could God do that? Or why would a good God do that? Or why would a loving God do that? How about they deserve it? How about that? Because that's what Scripture actually says. Okay? So that's what's going on. Then in verse 8, It says that scorching heat comes from the sun. Now, previously we saw in one of the judgments that the light of the sun was partially taken away. But now we see that it says that the light of the sun is greatly heated up. That's more global warming, by the way. God heats up the sun now. Now, if this is a global judgment, this would presumably melt the polar ice caps of our planet. And if that happens, according to National Geographic, the world's ocean levels would rise by 200 feet. Wow. So that forces even more bloody oceans and stench and disease into the mainlands of countries. And in that particular scenario, every single bit of Florida would disappear under a sea of bloody death. Wow. Florida's gone in this judgment. Verse 9. How do they respond to this? How do people respond to this? Is this not enough judgment to say, uncle, to say we give up? Apparently not. The sinful heart of man, you know, Jeremiah was right. He said it's deceitful and sinful and wicked more than anything you can imagine. How do we respond? It says in verse 9, it says, and men were scorched by the fierce heat, and says, and they blasphemed the name of God, who had power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. They shook their fist at God and said blasphemous things at his name, presumably the name of Jesus. My friends, let me tell you something, a harsh reality. I wish I didn't have to say this, but the world is going to hate your Jesus during this time. I saw a sign of a man in a parade the other day, and it just said, when Jesus comes back a second time, kill him again. That's the kind of satanic spirit that people are buying into in our world today. Well, God says, all right, well, there's more judgment coming. In chapter 16, verses 10 through 11, it says that there's going to be darkness. Antichrist's kingdom is covered in a thick night, a thick darkness, and there's a psychological effect that associated with this judgment, much like the darkness that came with the 10 plagues in Egypt. It's going to be so bad that Scripture says that people are going to gnaw on their tongues because of the pain. That's Revelation 16:10. How dark do things have to be before people are gnawing on their tongues in pain? Presumably there's no electricity at this time, perhaps. We don't know. But that's how dark it's going to be. And this blackness of night is only overshadowed by the darkness of their own depravity. The only thing darker than the night God's going to send is the darkness of the human heart during this time. You say, well, gosh, now they'll repent. Now these zombies will turn around, right? People's response in verse 11 of chapter 16, it says, they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. You see, that's the response. When we go through hard times, when something horrible happens to our life, whether it's disease or death or we get fired from a job, whatever it might be, we have the opportunity to either hate God more and blame him and ask him, why do you let it happen? Or we can just, in our own heart, just say, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me? What do I need to do? Do I need to repent? Are you trying to use this to get my attention? So they blasphemed the God of heaven. And then judgment number 6 under the bold judgment says three demons are released to prepare for Armageddon. The purpose of that is to begin to rally the armies of the world to begin to fight the Lamb of God at Armageddon. Then judgment number 7, chapter 16, verses 17 through 21 tells us that the greatest earthquake in the history of mankind is going to hit. And this completes the seal, the trumpet, and the bowl judgments. And it's going to be violent. The Bible says that islands will disappear and mountain ranges will be leveled, perhaps in preparation for the millennial kingdom. I don't know. But it devastates the topography of the earth itself. It rearranges the whole earth. says in verse 21, 100 pound hailstones will come down from the sky, from God, causing unimaginable destruction. Can you imagine the destruction? 100 pound hailstones? How big are those things? The size of a basketball, medicine ball? Who knows? What's people's response to that? What are they going to do as a result of that? They're going to just come to Christ in masses? No, verse 21 says, and men blasphemed God because of the hail plague, because it was severe. You know what blaspheme means? They're damning God. They're giving God the finger. It's F you, God. That's what we're really talking about here. And unimaginable blasphemies against the Son of God. Wow. Well, there's one final judgment coming. Jesus Christ is going to return in chapter 19 as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not coming to pass out loaves and fish. What's the final response from mankind to this event that's going to happen at Armageddon? You would think when Christ comes that they would be ready to repent. But no, the Bible tells us in Revelation 19:9, it says, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled. Why? Assembled in a mass revival ceremony to give their lives to Christ? No, it says assembled to make war against him who sat upon the horse and against his army. It's talking about Jesus coming back. That's their response. To gather against Jesus, to try to kill Jesus because he's the source of all their pain. Instead of submitting to the Creator, submitting to God, surrendering, laying down your weapons, no, we're going to try to annihilate God. We've already done that to his people. We did that to the Jewish nation. Another part of Revelation we didn't cover. Now we're going to do it to God himself. You know why? Because Satan's behind all this. Because Isaiah 14 tells us that his original agenda was to ascend the heights of heaven, to kick God off the throne and to become God himself. And now he's just using humanity to do it, but they're doing it willingly. And here they are, even at the return of Jesus, still hating him, still blaspheming him, still refusing to repent and believe. And my friends, when you encounter a lot of secular culture today, this left-wing, godless culture today, this is the kind of response you get from them. It's F you and F your God. That's what they're saying to us today. So it's getting to be very hostile, very vitriol in the world. The Bible tells us in verse 21 of chapter 19 of Revelation that Jesus Christ simply slays them with the sword of his mouth and the birds come and eat their flesh. The end. You see, humanity is not getting better. And our job here is not to simply coexist as the church. Our mission is not to coexist. Our mission is not to, let's get all the Muslims and the Christians together and build a recreation center for the community. That's not our mission. Our mission is the gospel. Our mission is to make disciples. Our mission is to tell people they need Jesus. That's our mission. The end. That's it. And these other peripheral things that are good things, like taking, you know, going out and, you know, making an orphanage or going over here and helping unwed mothers. And those are great things. We should do all those things. I mean, protest against abortion, the evils of abortion. That's a great thing to do. But it's not our primary mission. People don't come to Christ because we stand up against abortion, even though we should and we must vehemently stand against abortion. Our message is the gospel. And the thing that Christians haven't really caught on today in the church, in the American church, they haven't caught on to this basic biblical truth that people hate God. They hate God. Why do they hate God? Because they love their sin and because God is a direct threat to them being in charge of their own lives. That's why people hate God, friends. They're born in sin. They hate God. They hate what he stands for. And that's why God has to conquer someone's heart for them to become a Christian. That's why someone has to be broken in order to become a Christian. That's why. Because we're born with this natural resistance to God. That's a hatred of God. So we're not getting better, we're getting worse. And the only thing preventing mankind from this scenario that I've described in these last three broadcasts, from all-out sin, violence, immorality, rampant addiction, global blaspheming of God, what's preventing that thing? One thing. Not a thing, really. It's a he, the restrainer, the Holy Spirit in the church. And the only reason that good people, I'm talking about just your basic good Joe and Sally out there in the world, the only reason that they're good is because of the Holy Spirit and his influence through the church. See, you don't realize what's going on in the spiritual realm right now, how God is restraining, keeping bad things from happening in certain areas. He's holding back the base evil inside of every person. The same evil that we saw back in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, where it says the only thought of mankind was continually evil. And that's why God said in Noah's day, he said, that's it. Humanity is rotten, decayed, diseased. It's a stench in my nostrils. I'm going to wipe them out in my righteous wrath. So what do we learn from all this? Real quickly. Well, first of all, we learn that the Bible says this is going to happen. So it's going to happen literally and exactly as the Bible describes it. Not symbolically, not metaphorically, not spiritually, literally, as the Bible says. That's the first thing. Secondly, the human heart is wicked and unredeemable apart from the Holy Spirit working in them to convict them of sin. You get that? Unless the Spirit works in them, no hope. I don't care how they reform, they go to drug rehab, they decide to quit their sin, doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is coming to Christ by faith, receiving his grace, being forgiven of your sin, and allowing him, the God of the universe, to work through you with his power to change the world. But apart from him, a human heart is wicked and horrible. That's why we talk to God about men before we talk to men about God, because God is the only one that can change them. And that leads us to the third thing, is that Jesus is the answer. His good news is still good news for people. Now, our culture says to become a Christian is bad news because it makes you into one of them. But the gospel is still the good news. That's why we have to live it. That's why I have to share it, to proclaim it. God can still change zombie hearts into children of God. I'm one of them, and you're one of them probably. And if you've never had that change occur in your life, then I urge you to call on the name of the Lord, ask him to forgive you for being a sinner and for sinning against him. And because of his shed blood on the cross, the payment that he made, that he suffered in your place, he took hell on the cross so that you didn't have to take hell in eternity. And invite him to be a part of your life. Trust in the Lord. Have faith in Jesus. And you'll be changed from the inside out. Because that's the way God does it. Yeah, this book of Revelation, it's a foreview. It's a preview. It's like going to the movies and seeing the previews of coming attractions. This is the coming attraction, Revelation. And it's coming to planet Earth. We don't know when. You know, it says at the end of the movie trailer, it says, you know, coming March 25th. We don't know when it's coming. But the preview's already been done. The trailer's already been produced. And we see that in the book of Revelation, and every bit of it's going to play out exactly as the Bible says. So friend, I want you to have hope. I want you to be encouraged that I don't believe we're going to be here during this time. Some think we are. Some think there is no such thing as a tribulation or a rapture. I believe that Jesus is going to rescue his bride prior to unleashing his wrath on planet Earth the same way he rescued his people before he released his wrath during Noah's day, the same way he rescued Lot and his family before he unleashed his wrath. And it's not to say we Christians won't go through hard times. We will, but we're not destined for wrath. We're not destined for God's wrath, but for obtaining salvation and deliverance through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's the hope that we have. That's the hope that we share with other people as well. So that's the coming zombie apocalypse. It's going to happen at some point in human history, perhaps sooner than we think. Hey, these are some of the cool things we're talking about. If you'd like me to cover some questions or other topics, shoot me an email. Go to my website, jeffkinley.com, fill out the contact form, and I'll get an email. Hey, listen, thanks for being with me. I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.